کارآفرینان.
ارائه ای از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN.
کارآفرینان.
با سلام خدمت شما شنوندگان عزیز، به برنامه کارآفرینان خوش آمدید. برنامه غیر تبلیغاتی تقدیمی رادیو ایران به شما شنوندگان خوب، برای اینکه آشنا بشید با افراد موفق در بیزینس و کسب و کار. ما دعوت میکنیم از شخصیت‌هایی که در آمریکا بسیار موفق هستند در کارهاشون، تا بتونیم از توصیه‌ها و داستان زندگیشون شاید استفاده کنیم در کارهایی که خودمون انجام میدیم. مهمان امروز ما آقای الیور شکوه هستند، مدیر و گرداننده هالی دیویدسون آف گلندل و هالی دیویدسون آف سانتا کلاریتا، و خیلی خوشحالم که در خدمت ایشون هستم. ایشون 45 سال پیش کار مهندسی در دیترویت رو کنار گذاشتن تا یک دیلرشیپ هارلی دیویدسون باز کنن. جزئیات بیشتر رو از خودشون میشنویم. Thank you so much Mr. Oliver Shoku for being here.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
How much Farsi do you know?
من خیلی کم فارسی حرف میکنم.
But your parents were Iranian, right?
Yes.
They are Iranian.
Yes.
And they used to live in America from when did they came to?
Well, my dad came out here and received a bachelor's degree from University of Stanford in up Northern California, Palo Alto, back in 1938. In fact, he was the first Iranian student to get a degree from Stanford.
Wow.
And a credit to you ladies out there. There was a lady that received a bachelor from Stanford 1930. So she kind of beat my dad to it. And that's got to be very pleasing for ladies to hear. But she happened to also be the ambassador's daughter to the U.S. from Iran.
Mm-hmm. Oh, خب پس دوستان ایشون پدر و مادرشون که در آمریکا زندگی کردن، در مورد پدرشون گفتن که اولین دانشجوی ایرانی فارغ التحصیل دانشگاه استنفورد بودن سال 1938، البته اولین دانشجوی مرد، و اولین دانشجوی زن ایرانی دختر سفیر ایران در آمریکا بود سال 1930.
You asked me about my Persian or Farsi knowledge. I understand everything you're saying. It's just I have a hard time speaking it. Yes.
So I can't cheat.
I'm going to cheat because I can hear you. Anyhow, yeah, my mom also went to University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and she also got a degree. She got that when I was little, small. I was probably 4 or 5 years old, but she came and she had a bachelor's degree already, and she received a master's degree. So they got established in this country some time ago, and unfortunately, I didn't have the privilege to have a lot of Iranian friends. So and you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So I kind of forgot my Parsi, and I regret that. But
They didn't speak Farsi to each other?
No, they were so Americanized that, you know, and then I, of course, you know,
I understand. In Michigan, Detroit, over there, not
as many Iranians as here. And, you know,
especially those
immigrants, we tend to assimilate into the country and the culture that we come, especially as a young child that wants to be like all the rest of the kids.
Exactly.
So, and,
yeah. Okay, and you studied, so your mother was a teacher later?
She studied health education, but she was not a teacher. She basically was trained in how to educate others in healthy living and you know, hygiene and so forth.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell us about yourself.
Well, I received an engineering degree in Detroit at Wayne State University and worked in the automotive industry for about 7 years. I got married to a lovely American girl. And then at one point, since I was a motorcycle enthusiast, I used to ride bikes at a very small age. In fact, years and years after I became a Harley Davidson dealer, my mom showed me a little handwritten note that I wrote her that said, "I will never ride a motorcycle again." And that's after I became a dealer. So she kind of,
you promised your mom?
I promised my mom I'm never going to ride a motorcycle. And later she found out that I own a Harley Davidson motorcycle dealership. So I, decided, being an engineer really wasn't my cup of tea. And there was an opportunity to come out here to California, which is always exciting because all the nice weather and all that goes with California, especially back in the 70s, to come out here and walked into an empty building that was available for lease. And I became a Harley Davidson dealer under the auspices of the Harley Davidson Motor Company, of course.
خب پس ایشون که خودشون رشته مهندسی خوندن، آقای آلیور شکو، بعد چند سالی در کارهای اتومبیل کار کردن و بعد از اون گفتن که من دیدم که این مهندسی کاری نیست که من دوست داشته باشم و اومدن سراغ دیلرشیپ هارلی دیویدسون. I've heard that it has been 45 years ago, I guess, if I'm right, when you decided to...
1976 was when I started the dealership.
Mm-hmm. When you decided to leave your job, engineering job, and doing all of your friends were shocked, right?
Packed my wife and three children. We rented a U-Haul truck. I rode the truck, and she drove, and we all came out to California really a shoestring budget. We didn't really have a lot of money. With three kids.
Weren't you afraid maybe your business doesn't work? How can I run my family? Yeah. How can I afford
everything? Well, I mean, I'm an adventurous guy, and that's part of being a motorcyclist. You know, motorcycling is dangerous, and it's an adventure. So but I never expected that I'll be sitting here 44, 43 years later talking to you. And still doing the same thing, but I enjoy doing it, and that's important that you enjoy doing what you're doing. And of course, I love motorcycles, and being around motorcycles give me great pleasure.
It has been a big risk for a married man with three kids.
Is always a risk. So we've been on the edge many times, and
And I've heard that the big company, Harley Davidson Company, was bankrupt on 1980s, the beginning of 1980s.
They were having a difficult time, and
it was how many years after you started?
It was owned by AMF, American Machinery and Foundry, and they owned Harley Davidson Motor Company from 1969 through 1981, and then a group of some of the family members, one of the Davidson families, the great descendant from the original founders, and some of the factory or the company executives decided to pool their money. And they pooled their money, and some of them got second mortgages on their houses and so forth, and raised $1 million. And with that $1 million, they bought what was an $80 million company from AMF, or American Machinery and Foundry. And they struggled. It was a big risk for them, too, and they managed to, in fact, do real well. So the motor company does some $6 billion of business a year, and it's listed in the New York stock market now, and it's doing quite well.
Mm-hmm. And how many years after you started your Harley-Davidson dealership, this happen?
Well, I started in 76, and they bought the company back from AMF, which is a huge company, and they bought it back in 1981.
So has been only 4 or 5 years
you had the dealership. 5 years before.
And then...
Then they struggled for a while, and then they went public, and they... they became really successful. I mean, it was a real huge risk for them to Because they were carrying so much debt. I mean, they bought an $80 million company, which was probably undervalued. It's probably worth a lot more. But back then, that's what they valued the stock at. And with $1 million, they got into $80 million debt and all the needed capital to keep the company going.
Wow.
And luckily, there were some pretty smart people.
It was another risk for you again.
Another risk again, sure. Yeah, yeah. Every day you walk out and wake up, there's another risk. And, yeah. You know, it's great to be able to wake up and be healthy.
Yeah, you're a risk taker.
Yeah.
Oh. Congratulations.
I am. That's part of motorcycling. Mm-hmm. Motorcycle guys are a lot like pilots, you know. Mm-hmm. When you get on a plane, you know, you better land or you're not going to make it. So, motorcycling is fun. It's a lot of fun, but you have to be real defensive. And we teach motorcycle training at our both dealerships, where you can go and get trained to operate motorcycles safely. And most importantly, learn how to look out for the other drivers, because 2/3 of the accidents are caused by cars that claim or happen not to see you and make a turn in front of you.
And I think one of the reasons is that the policy that the law that you can drive in same aisle with a car. This is not a good idea.
Well,
this is not a good idea.
It is for motorcycles because you don't get stuck in traffic. You can go between cars. And it's legal in California.
I know it's legal in California.
And it's legal in Washington, D.C. And one of the reasons it's legal is because CHP and officers, police, are supposed to operate under all the same DMV laws that we operate on, unless they're in pursuit. And they like being able to cut between the cars or do what we call white lining or, splitting the lanes to get ahead. And of course, we like it too. But since CHP likes it, it's still a law in California. They've tried to change the law, but CHP's always gone against it. And that's one time that we truly get along with the folks at CHP.
CHP can have their siren and go. But other people, it's not safe for them. I'm afraid of these things. I don't know. This law. Yeah. Actually, because I usually talk to lawyers also, and I know about the bad accident that happened.
Yeah, it does happen. And, you know, there are some guidelines. You're not supposed to go real fast. You're only supposed to go 10 miles faster.
Make a loud sound.
And, yeah, sound helps. I mean, some people say loud pipes save lives, because if you can hear a motorcycle, you may be careful not to open your door get in their lane. If you're careful, it's safe. Yeah. And motorcycling can be safe. That's why we stress training is so important. Mm-hmm. It's just like you don't allow a person to get behind an airplane and fly until they get certified. And the same is true for motorcycling. And I strongly recommend for anybody that wants to get involved in motorcycling to go through the courses that are available, that are state mandated. In fact, anyone under 21 years of age has to take these courses before they get their motorcycle license endorsement.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
But
everyone can go buy a motorcycle.
Anybody can go buy a motorcycle. Yeah, we'll sell to anyone, but then if they don't know how to operate, we offer to ride the bike home for them or encourage them to take the class before they start riding the motorcycle. Anyone under 21 that has a car license, they can go to DMV, pass all the tests, and get a license. But I would caution, I would recommend anyone over 21 to still consider going through the course, through the safety course, to be safe out there. Because especially a place like L.A., the drivers are a little crazy out here.
Yeah.
And they're always in a big rush.
Why Harley Davidson is so famous and a known brand?
Well, Harley Davidson is an all-American brand. It's right up there in terms of name recognition, right up there with Coca-Cola and apple pie. I mean, it's a company that's been around since 1903. They just celebrated their 115th anniversary, and it's truly an American success story. Because at one point, as you alluded to a while ago, they were about to go bankrupt. And then these group of investors, including one of the members of the original family, bought the company back. And it was a struggle. It was a risk, but they made it. So that was a good thing.
Mr. Shoku, you have two dealerships. Yeah. When did you start the Harley Davidson of Santa Clarita?
Oh, about a year, a couple of months ago, yeah.
Oh,
about
really?
14 months ago, right.
So yeah. You don't want to, not only you don't want to get retired, you want to make it bigger, the business.
Well, sometimes running two is just as easy as running one. Yeah, really.
Is it?
I mean, it depends on your managers. If you have good managers, and if you have a good team, then you can handle many dealerships. One of the things that I do every year or have done since 1984 is an event called the Love Ride. Some people that are motorcyclists out there, especially in Southern California, have probably heard about the Love Ride. It's a charity event. It's a motorcycle charity event. And since its inception, we've raised $25 million for those less fortunate. So I'm very proud of that. And that's part of my legacy to the motorcycling community and to show that motorcyclists aren't just the bad guys and the rebels and the, guys that get on your nerves sometimes because of the loud pipes or scream by you in the middle lane and make you nervous. They also have a sense of community. And they get out there and raise money for those less fortunate. In fact, we're doing one next weekend on Sunday, November 10th this year. We're doing a Love Ride that starts at Harley-Davidson of Glendale and ends up at Harley-Davidson of Santa Clarita. And we hope to raise some money for the Santa Clarita Educational Foundation. So we always contribute to various causes. And partially we do this to erase the notion that motorcyclists are not, they don't really contribute back into their community. And this is our part to show that we do. And one of the reasons I started that back in 1984.
And how can people participate?
Well, they go to loveride.org online and register and participate. Yeah.
And they have to. You have to pay to be signed up.
Yeah, well, that's how we raise the money for charity. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Great. So people know for November 10th.
November 10th.
Loveride.org.
Loveride.org. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back. دوستان برمیگردیم خدمتتون همراه آقای الیور شکو که مدیر و گرداننده هالی دیویدسون آف گلندل و هالی دیویدسون آف سانتا کلاریتا هستن.
به پادکست رادیو ایران گوش میکنید. 670 پادکست. گلچینی از برنامه‌های رادیو ایران. رادیو ایران. socalpersian.com.
کارآفرینان. ارائه از رادیو ایران 670 AM KIRN.
کارآفرینان.
دوستان برنامه کارآفرینان رو میشنوید. در خدمت میهمانمون آقای الیور شکو هستیم، مدیر و گرداننده هالی دیویدسون آف گلندل و هالی دیویدسون آف سانتا کلاریتا، موتورسیکلت هایی که بسیار معروف هستند و اغلب شخصیت های معروف علاقه من به موتور سواری دوست دارن که این موتورسیکلت به خصوص رو داشته باشند و خیلی از داشتنش لذت میبرند و باشم مطمئنم بهشون خیلی خوش میگذره. درست میگم آقای شکو؟
I did understand all of that. And yes, motorcycling is a lot of fun. And it's There's something about being out there, not inside a car. We call it cages, you know.
Right.
You're not inside a cage, so you're not a cager. You're a motorcycle guy. You're out in the open. You smell the air. You experience the wind going through your face, your hair. It's really exhilarating. It's like you're out in the picture, not... you know, locked up inside a car, outside the picture. So it's a great experience. You've never been on a motorcycle. It's really an exhilarating experience.
I have been
experience.
For a few minutes, not myself. I was in the back. Someone right. else was riding it. And I was waiting to the ride to be end up.
Oh, really? Oh, well, then I was going to offer you a ride, but maybe not.
To be over. Maybe one day I come to your dealership and someone gives me ride. This time I'm going to take a look at it in another way, with other vision, that the air is going to my hair and I'm not in a cage and something
right.
like that. So, Oliver, you started Love Ride. Tell me more about this.
Well,
tell our listeners what Love Ride is.
Okay.
And
well,
then what happened?
Love Ride is obviously there's a word love and a ride because it's a motorcycle ride, and we came up with the name Love Ride because I knew it was going to be a lot of work. So I thought, well, gee, if I'm going to do all this work, it's got to be a labor of love because I love doing it. So we came up with the name Love Ride, and it was
because you really help other people.
We are helping other people.
Giving love.
Giving love. Yeah.
Yeah. And when did you start it?
1984. We did the ride for Muscular Dystrophy Association, we had kids that had. Muscular dystrophy, different various forms of muscular dystrophy used to join us. And God bless them. I mean, most of them aren't with us because those poor children don't live very long with that disease. But I got to know some of the families, and it even further encouraged me that, gee, if I'm helping these families that are coping with taking care of a child that's stuck on a wheelchair and all the caretaking that it requires taking care of people like that, and if I'm doing just a little bit of good to help make their lives a little better through something I enjoy doing, and it's a fun thing for me to do, it kind of encouraged me to keep going, because at one point I thought, gee, this labor of love is getting a little too much for me. Just too much work. It's almost like a full-time job, second job. But I decided to continue, and then of course I had the support of a lot of good volunteers. My two daughters, and my son got involved in helping me organize it. And so it was also kind of a family affair.
Wow. Well, what a nice thing you did.
Yeah, I'm
and
very
where
proud
did
of
the
that.
Idea come from to how to raise the money?
Well, Harley Davidson Motor Company became a corporate sponsor of, Muscular Dystrophy Association. And, that was their way of showing that motorcycles aren't all a bunch of bad guys, and that there is a good side to the motorcycle world. And a lot of them are just like us, or like your neighbor next door, or the college president. And we did have a college president that was very much involved with the Love Ride. And people like that. So it just kind of kept on growing and growing. And and at one point, we got to the point where we actually had raised $25 million. And I thought, gee, that's pretty incredible.
Wow.
Through our efforts in a very small way, through a small business.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a good idea. Thank you for doing that, really.
Yeah.
And
it's been very rewarding. I appreciate your comment. It feels good to be given instead of just taking.
Yeah.
Right.
God bless you. You mentioned your children. You said you have three children, right?
Yes, two daughters, Emily and Suzanne.
What are they doing? How old are they?
Well, they're all in their 40s. And my son also, his name's Richard. And they're all in their 40s. They're all blessed with good health, and And they have they've given me 6 grandchildren,
wow,
which I'm very proud of. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Very nice, very nice. You look like a man that does exercise all the time.
Well, riding a motorcycle is kind of an exercise, but I do. I do take care of myself. I was an athlete when I was in college. I used to run track, and I was in a swim team. And you know, it's good to be in good health, and it's something else you need to work on, because good health requires taking care of yourself, watching your diet, your sleep. It just makes life better for you. It adds on to your longevity as well, which we all hope to have. And I have friends that have various types of diseases, a lot of cancer, a lot of heart disease. And it reinforces the fact that one of the most important things that we can do as we're getting older is to take good care of ourselves. So we hopefully live a good, healthy life all the way to the very end.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So our listeners they might be thinking of having a business, taking a big risk, but they are not sure if they have to do it or not. What's your advice for the people who want to start a business?
Starting a business, anything that is unknown to us, or taking a risk or taking chances or making any changes is always scary. I'm a firm believer that everybody is scared, including me. But I look fear straight in the eye, and I feel the pain or the fear, and I just go ahead and do it anyway. It's like life is full of risk, and life is dangerous. And guess what? We're eventually going to die from it, right? Because eventually something's going to get us if disease doesn't get us. You got to get out there and take risks.
They have to do it wisely, or is there?
Obviously,
two ways to get risk,
absolutely.
It's only one way.
Thanks for correcting me, because you have to be wise and cautious, obviously. I mean, you don't want to do anything stupid. I'm not advocating being fearless and jump off a 20-story building, but if they give you a parachute and I'll tell you that this more than likely is going to work, I'd probably go for it.
How do you manage the dealership? Do you go to your work every day, or do you have a system that people work for you? And how do you trust people that are working for you?
Well, that's hard. I mean, you want trustful people that are also capable, and nowadays it's really a requirement for everyone to be to know computers and how to do all that stuff. So, have a gut feeling about some people that I can trust, and then I just allow them to go ahead and do the best they can. Of course, we all need training, so I'm big on training my staff. We're all providing all the tools and knowledge so they can operate the business adequately. Having good people work for you is probably the most important part of your business, finding the right people.
How many people are working?
Yeah.
How many people are working for you in your dealership?
In Glendale, right around 50, and up in Santa Clarita, about 20. It's mm-hmm. a smaller dealership.
These are salesperson or you have?
Well, we have sales, we have service department, we have parts department, we have what we call motor clothes. That's riding apparel, leather jackets, boots, that kind of stuff.
You sell these things.
Some of it's really fashionable, so it's...
Should be very expensive, some of them.
Right? Some are expensive, but they're also functional for on a motorcycle, so... you know, if you did happen to fall down, you know, they protect you from getting rashes or protect your body in some ways. And of course, we advocate everyone wearing a DOT or Department of Transportation approved helmet and wear boots and gloves and mm-hmm. all the proper apparel to stay safe. And we also teach that during our safety courses that we teach under that's under the program called California Motorcycle Safety Program, mm-hmm. and all our instructors are state trained and certified to teach motorcycle safety.
The motorcycles are like cars. Every year you have new model. Is that so?
Yes, every year we get a new model. Yeah.
And
this year we got an electric motorcycle. A Harley Davidson selling electric bikes. It's kind of like the Tesla of automobiles.
You don't have hybrid?
No. Just either gasoline or electric at this point. But the electric bike is just came out, and it's a real premium motorcycle. And
does it make sound, Steve?
It doesn't make any sound. No. In fact, they're thinking about adding some kind of sound to it because people can't hear you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's right. Really they right. saves yeah. that saves life. But yeah. I wish not all the time makes the sound, only when they're close.
Especially at 2 o'clock in the morning when they're yeah. pulling in after they close the bar down.
You know, I want to change my vision. The way I look at the motorcycles.
Oh, God, some of those motorcycle people, they could be college professors. They could be...
No, not the people. Don't take me wrong.
Oh, the motorcycle.
I don't judge people.
Oh,
I
don't judge people? Oh, good. Okay, well, I'm glad. Some people do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I know that electric bike, especially, it's when you get going on it, it goes really fast, really a fast bike.
Yeah.
It's kind of like electricity, you know, it's like turning on a switch. Turn the switch. It's, you know, it's got a lot of torque. It gets up and goes. And when it gets up and goes and it's going real fast, it sounds like a jet engine.
Mm-hmm.
Not as loud as a jet, but, you know, that's kind of what it sounds like. But
now, what's your advice for the people who want to buy a motorcycle? Where should they start?
They should start with training.
Training.
Whether they know how to ride or not, go through the course because you might learn one or two things that might save your life. Mm-hmm. And so go through the training.
And then?
And there's a suitable bike for everyone. You know, it's not one size fits all. Everybody, depending on what kind of riding they want to do, if they want to ride on the dirt out in the, you know, dirt roads out there, there's plenty of those things all over California. If they want to ride street, if they want to go touring, if they just want to show off on the boulevard and be boulevard cruisers.
That's the one, that
yeah,
I guess.
See a lot of those guys in L.A. And depending on what they're, you know, we say you got to go to a dealer, sit on, try out, test ride, maybe some various different bikes, and see what fits. Uh-huh. What fits to your
body.
Oh. What fits to your plans on your lifestyle of how you want to use this product. You want to get on it, go up to Santa Barbara for the weekend, or you want to cruise the boulevard, you know, chasing beers and burgers or something, whatever. you want to get outside the city and get out in the dirt roads and go places that only Jeeps can go. Motorcycles are really good at that sort of thing. In fact, they've been used in the military. They were Harley-Davidson built a lot of military bikes that served during the First World War, during the Mexican-American Wars, during the Second World War. They took hundreds of thousands of motorcycles overseas. And after the war was over, they figured it's not worth bringing them back because they're also beat up and everything, so they just left them in Europe. So there's a lot of European people that own old vintage U.S. Army retired motorcycles that they got very cheap. If I don't know if they just got them for free or if they were auctioned, but I see a lot of that when I go to Europe, is all these old retired motorcycles. So so there are a lot of different uses for motorcycles, including the military.
So when you see a Harley Davidson in the street, you see it's like you see your babies moving around.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you're in love with them. Does is it safer to fit your body size fits the motorcycle, or it doesn't matter? Does it make it safer
important.
For you?
It is.
It is.
If you're short, you should find a bike that sits down lower, because it's good to have both your feet square, be able to put your feet on the ground. Mm-hmm. And if you're tall, you may be too cramped if you get into a smaller bike. So depending on what you plan to do with this motorcycle, you should always find the right bike. And it's going to take some research on your part to find that.
Oh, interesting. We learned how to buy motorcycle. Thank you so much, Mr. Oliver Shoku.
Right, right. In fact, we have at our Glendale store, we have a gentleman that speaks Farsi. So,
you do?
Yeah, so he can certainly try to fit you on the right bike.
Yes, yes. and the Love Ride, you said, is going to be on, what is the date again?
November 10th, and you can get online www.loveride.org, or if you even do .com, it'll come up and then it'll tell you about the Love Ride, our plans for the Love Ride, and how to register if you care to attend.
Great. این کمک خیلی خوبیه که میتونید بکنید دوستان. اگر موتورسیکلت دارید, it has to be Harley Davidson. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no, we don't care.
It doesn't matter what.
We don't care. You can even come in a car, but we don't have a lot of parking for cars.
How about bicycle?
A bicycle is
good. I can do that.
Or walking, or you can Uber. But we prefer if you don't come in a cage.
Okay.
As much as you can help. But if you do come in a cage,
I'm going to sell my car today. I hate these cages.
If you're in a cager, then you might have to park a little ways down the road and then walk, which is, again, it's a good, healthy walk.
What, did you drive here?
I drove here.
On your motorcycle or in a cage?
No.
Came with a cage?
I came in a cage. Yeah, I admit.
thank you so much, Oliver.
My pleasure to be here.
It was very
nice
talking to you.
Likewise. Thank you.
آقای الیور شکو, پدر و مادر ایرانی, خودشون فارسی رو متوجه میشن, ولی خب راحت تر بودن که انگلیسی صحبت کنن. مدیر Harley Davidson of Glendale and Harley Davidson of Santa Clarita. Thank you so much. خیلی ممنون که همراه ما بودید.
خیلی ممنونم. مرسی بکن. Merci beaucoup. Well, just
merci without the book,
just mercy.
Ruzbate.
Thank you.